Harper Audio presents Lord of Wicked Intentions by Lorraine Heath, performed by Faye Dell. Prologue. Yorkshire, winter, 1854. Lord Ralph Easton waited unmoving. Perched on a boulder in the centre of the abbey ruins, he was immune to the discomfort of the hard rock. The icy winds howled around him, the snow fell gently from the heavens, but he did not stir. He allowed no memories of happier times to intrude. He was not anticipating his brother's return. He refused to anticipate it. He was merely awaiting their arrival. 10 years earlier on this very night, they'd left him, as though he were rubbish, as though they weren't brothers, as though they didn't have the same blood coursing through their veins. They'd left him, with the promise to meet up here on this particular night, in order to gain revenge against the uncle who had meant them harm, the one who wanted the dukedom of Keswick, the one who had planned to kill them. Ralph had found ample opportunities through the years to do in the blighter. He'd watched from the shadows while Lord David strutted about and enjoyed the fruits of his misguided scheme. He knew he should feel unmitigated anger at the fool, but it was his brothers who garnered his wrath, especially Tristan, who had called him a baby, then Sebastian for not seeking to reassure him that everything would be all right. Ralph had been barely 10, terrified beyond measure. They were 4 years older, blasted twins, who knew each other's thoughts, each other's fears, each other's ambitions. He'd not heard a word from either of them since they'd abandoned him at the workhouse and ridden off together. Yes, he'd cried, blubbered, begged. It shamed him now to think about his behaviour on that horrid night. Since then, he'd dammed up his tears, dammed up his emotions, dammed up his heart, until he felt nothing. He welcomed the numbness seeping through his body until it matched his soul. Didn't bother to extend his gloved hands toward the wildly dancing flames of the small fire. He would not even consider that they were not here because they were dead. They must see how well he'd done for himself. He hadn't needed them. In all the passing years, he hadn't required their assistance in order to survive. He certainly didn't need them now. At the workhouse, food was short and punishment in abundance, particularly for a lad who wasn't very agile. Admittedly, he'd been a bit of a roly-poly back then. He loved his sweets. They were his secret indulgence now, but not often. He would never again be slow to action. A number of men had learned how quick he was, and deadly. Eventually, he'd managed to escape the workhouse and made his way to London. He'd lived on the streets, scavenging and scrounging, until he'd fallen in with a fellow who knew all of London's darkest secrets. Now, they belonged to Ralph. By the time the sun was easing over the horizon, the fire had long since turned to ash. The cold had made its home in the depths of his bones. He finally unfolded his body and made his way over the scattered debris until he reached the remnants of a window. They're not coming. He should have known. He didn't want to acknowledge the small kernel of disappointment that threatened to blossom into rage and hurt, and something that resembled loneliness. They meant nothing to him anymore. He wouldn't allow them to mean anything. He sincerely hoped they were writhing in hell. His features, set in a stoic mask, he spun away from the window, his greatcoat flaring out around his calves. He tugged hard on his finely crafted leather gloves, even though they were already perfectly positioned.
"Wait here until they show."
"For how long, sir?" his man asked from the corner in which he'd been standing guard through the night. How long indeed? How long was long enough?
"Until they show," he repeated.
"And if they don't?" He wouldn't contemplate the possibility of that happening. He would.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?